Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you're having a great time watching or attending Build. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you about some of the things that's happened in Azure Resource Manager. I don't think we've talked since, about Azure Conf last year. And so I have some things that I think will be really excited for you to learn about as you try to better understand how to deploy, author, manage, and control your apps in the cloud. So we're really going to focus on four areas of investment today. Number one is we're going to talk about how we focused on making it easier to get started with templates. The second thing that we're going to dig into is how we've tried to make it easier to debug deployment failures as you're trying to, you know, debug and figure out what goes wrong when you're deploying these new applications. We're going to talk about how you can govern resources with resource policy to ensure that your applications meet compliance requirements. And then we're also going to look at how you can raise alerts on events and interact with external systems based on what's happening through Azure Resource Manager at any given point in time. And so let's quickly talk about the new ways that we're helping you get started with templates. Number one is you're going to start seeing new automation options in the create experience. You'll see that on many of the new service creation workflows, there will be a link at the bottom of the screen, which allows you to export a template that has been built by the experience that you've just walked through. Number two is you'll be able to export a template from previous deployments. So if you've deployed an application in the past, you'll be able to very quickly and easily retrieve prior deployments. And then the final thing that we're going to provide you with is the ability to export a template from a running resource group. And what this allows you to do is, let's say that you've deployed an app, but then you've gone through the portal and made a set of changes to it, you'll be able to export a template that has not only the initial deployment, but all of those subsequent changes that you've made. So, with that in mind, let's go ahead and demo how we can help you get started with templates. So we're going to get started by going to the Azure portal, and we're going to create, a new web application just like we'd create any other web app. So I'll go to web and mobile. And then for the sake of simplicity, we'll go to web app. And so I'll enter my application name like I always would. So we'll call this Ryan's Web App 2. I'll give it a new resource group name, Ryan's Resource Group Demo. I'll select one of my app service plans. And what you'll notice is down here at the bottom of the screen, we have a new link called Automation Options. And I'm going to click this. And so what's going to happen is the left side of our screen, what's happened behind the scenes is it's been building a template for us that it then sends to Resource Manager. What we've done is we've provided you with a way to see the template that the portal normally submits on your behalf. And so we'll see I have my template, and in it I have my parameters, as you'd expect to see in any other template. I have a collection of resources. So it includes my website, my hosting plan, my alerts, so on and so forth. I have a parameters file, which takes all the parameters that were gathered by the UI and places them in a file so I can reuse them. And then, if you want to go ahead and use these two things to deploy your application, you can save the file, and we give you a PowerShell script right here, which you can then use to deploy your application. So that's the first way that we've helped you get started with a template from the portal. Now let's look at option number two. What I'm going to do is I am going to browse to one of the resource groups that I've created previously. And so I'll use this resource group from when I was doing some testing with Jenkins a couple months back. I'm going to click on the deployments option under settings. And you'll see in this particular resource group, I've actually only created one deployment historically. If I click on this button, I now have the option, as you can see right here, to export the template. And so what we're doing is when you submit a deployment, we're actually persisting it so that it can be retrieved at a later point in time. And so just like in our last example, you have a template with a collection of parameters, a collection of variables, a collection of resources, and potentially a collection of outputs at the end. Just in, like in our last example, we have a collection of parameters that were the parameters used for the last deployment. And finally, we have a PowerShell script that can be used to redeploy the application using that template file and that parameters file. Okay? Now, let's assume that after I'd run this initial deployment, I'd gone into the portal or used PowerShell or CLI to make an assortment of other changes to my application. So I've changed the app in a way that's not really reflected in the initial deployment. Well, we have a way that you can get a template that captures many of those changes as well. And so on my resource group, I'll go into all settings, just like I did for deployments, but I'll click the export template button at the bottom of the screen. And so what's going to happen is this is going to crawl my entire resource group, enumerating all of the resources. It's then going to compare those resources against the schemas that the various services have published to power resource group export, as well as its same schemas used to power IntelliSense in Visual Studio. And based on that information, we will build a template based on the running state of your resource group. And so, once again, you'll see that we have a collection of parameters, we have a collection of variables, as well as a collection of resources. And so you can take this template and deploy it just like you would any other template. Now, one thing you'll note, this feature is currently in preview, and so some resources won't necessarily export flawlessly. And so in this particular example, what you'll find is virtual machine extensions are not yet supported at this point in time in the preview. However, it does give you a very good overall template or a good starting point for deploying your application from a running resource group. So excellent. And so if you want to learn more about how to do what we just did on your own, go to the link that you see on the screen and you'll be able to learn more and try it yourself. So our next step, let's talk about how we can help you debug deployment failures. You know, when we think about the things that people are doing with templates, oftentimes they're deploying very, very complex applications. And in the process of really any complex operation, the chances for things to go wrong are quite high. And so what we've done is we've provided a mechanism through which you can more easily debug your deployment failures. What we do is we allow you to log the request and response for every deployment operation in a given template deployment. And what this does is it allows you to pinpoint what went wrong where. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and try to do this together. So what I have on my machine is a PowerShell script used to deploy my application. And so if you've used PowerShell to work with Resource Manager before, this should look familiar to you. You'll see we log in to the Azure account. We create a new resource group. We create a new resource group deployment. Once again, familiar steps. However, what's new is if we scroll to the end of the new resource group deployment commandlet, we have a new option, deployment debug log level. And there are three acceptable values for this, request, response, and all, which records both requests and responses. And so what I have here is a template that has an error in it, and we're going to deploy it. And in fact, I've actually already deployed it for the sake of time. You'll see right here, create deployment, Ryjones debug. And so once it's done deploying, we'll see right here, I hit an error, and we're gonna say, the value of parameter VM size is invalid. Well, what happened there? And so what I can do is I can get the operations from that particular resource group deployment. And so if I print those to the screen, you'll see one operation for every step in the template deployment. And so almost immediately right here, we see the request for creating my virtual machine. And when we look at my VM size property right here, well, this doesn't look right, does it? This looks absolutely bizarre. Because my VM size here isn't standard A1 or standard D2 or anything like that. It looks like it's a template language expression. And so I'm going to turn over to Visual Studio Code, and I'm going to look at the place where I define the VM size variable. And sure enough, I'm sure you've done this as well, what I'd done is I'd forgotten my closing bracket right here. And so this is very, very helpful for debugging areas where it's not necessarily a syntax error, but where there's a problem that leads to a logical error at template runtime, okay? And so going back, you know, this wasn't just logged for the VM, it was logged for every other deployment operation that occurred as a part of deploying this template. So super, super powerful feature, especially when you're trying to deploy and debug very complex templates. So I'm very excited about that. As you can see, I made a silly mistake writing that template myself. And so to learn more about how you can use this feature to debug your template deployments, follow the link at the bottom of the screen. So our third main area of investment, and this is a real big one. What we see is the cloud enables agility. People are deploying more applications more quickly than ever before. But with that in mind, how can we maintain control? How can we ensure that the resources and applications that are deployed meet our governance requirements, meet our compliance requirements? And so what we've done is we've introduced what we call resource policies. Resource policies allow us to govern acceptable resource configurations. And so through policy, there are a number of facets that you can govern. Anything from a resource name to restricting acceptable resource types, resource locations for geo-compliance reasons, tags, tag values, or resource kinds, as well as a number of facets that are specific to particular services. So things like storage account SKU, premium versus standard storage, scheduler SKU, document DB SKU, content delivery SKU, Redis cache SKU, SSL config, and as well as shard count for Redis cache. So what you'll see over time is more and more facets that are able to be governed by policy. And so let's go and take a quick look at what it might look like for us to author a policy which requires a cost center tag. So let's pull up a PowerShell script that will configure our cost center policy. And so, if you've used our PowerShell before, once again, these steps will look familiar. I'm going to log in, I'm going to create a new resource group, and the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new policy definition, okay? And so let's pull up Visual Studio Code. And so here I have a very, very basic policy. What it says is if there is not a field tags cost center with a value of department 1, 2, or 3, then deny the request, okay? So in a more generic manner, if we look at this particular template, of course, these policies are always JSON. They always follow a common structure of if an object, then with an effect. And inside of my if, there are a number of things that I can do. Number one is I can use logical operators. So I can use any of, you would think of this as a logical or. I can use all of, you can think of this as a logical and. I can use not, which is a logical inverse. And then I can refer to any of the number of fields or facets that we talked about earlier. And then I have a number of operators, such as like, in, so on and so forth, that can be used for policy evaluation, okay? So with this policy, I then, you know, persist it in the service by creating the policy definition, and then I make the policy assignment. And so I give that assignment a name. I refer to the policy that I created in the policy step above. I define a scope. In this particular example, the scope of this policy assignment is the policies resource group inside of my subscription. and I'm using this particular Preview API version. I then turn around and try to create a storage account without a set of tags. And so let's see what happens. And so what you'll see is my attempt to write a storage account is disallowed by the policy that we created on line 5. So if I turn around and try to create that same storage account, but with a set of department tags, let's see what happens. And you'll see because my storage account was in fact compliant with policy, this time the create went through successfully. Excellent. So I hope that shows you how you can author a policy to ensure that all of your resources are tagged with a cost center. And if you want to learn more or try it on your own, follow the link at the bottom of the page where we'll take you to a document that extensively walks through Azure Resource Policies. And so let's talk about our final feature of the day, alerting on events. And with this feature, I always think about the classic question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, did it really make a sound? Well, what we realized is Azure Resource Manager writes a large number of events to audit logs. However, many times there's not much you can do without going and reading them. And so we asked ourselves, well, what if you could create an alert against any event that's audited? And so we built that. And so these alerts can do one of two things. Number one is they can send you an email notification. Or number two, perhaps more interestingly, they can call a webhook. And so let's take a look at what it would look like to author an event for alerts. So let's go back to our handy PowerShell window. Once again, a lot of the same familiar commands that you're used to using. In this case, let's assume for a moment that we want to audit every time that cost center tag is set to department one. Maybe department one's problematic and we just want to keep an extra close eye on them. And we want to fire events based on these audited actions. And so what we'll do is we will first define a policy for this. And so I'll go and look at our alert policy. And so what we're doing here is we say, if the tag's cost center value is equal to department one, then audit the action. And so I will create a policy definition which references that policy. And I will make a policy assignment, this time at subscription scope. So we'll run this, and my policy definition and policy assignment have been created. Next, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an alert rule webhook. And so in this particular case, what we're going to do is we're going to call an Azure Automation webhook every time we audit an event that was fired by this particular policy. And then we will create an alert rule that then in turn fires every time we see the audit operation name in the policies resource group. So I'll run this. And so if I turn around and try to create a storage account, it will complete successfully. And remember, this is because we set the audit effect, not the deny effect. And what'll happen is within a couple of minutes, my alert will fire, calling the Azure Automation service, which really could be running any sort of PowerShell script in reaction to this particular policy violation. Excellent. So what our alert just did there is based on an incoming event, we in turn called a webhook that called that Azure Automation runbook. I think it's pretty cool how really you can use this feature to do almost all any sort of eventing or alerting based on what we write to audit logs. And so based on what we've talked about today, I'd ask you to try the following things. Number one, look at the new ways that we have to help you get started with templates. Number two, as you play around with those templates, try out the new ways that we have to help you debug deployment failures that you may encounter along the way. Number three, look at how you can govern or restrict the resources that you create using resource policies. And number four, try to raise alerts on events. With that said, thank you so much for your time and enjoy the rest of Build.